episode of DJM's Diversity Pod, hosted by Diverse Jobs Matter. Now, we took a week's break just because we had that fantastic episode with Rebecca Lowe that had come out last week. And in that interview, she discussed all things legal sector, CMS, diversity, inclusion, motherhood, and parenthood. It was a lengthy interview split into three parts, definitely worth a read. On to this week's episode. When tackling the isms in the EDI spectre, there are two that are typically forgotten. This week, we are talking about ableism and disableism. Many of you may have heard the former, ableism, but may not actually recognize the word disableism. It is not very commonly used, but in the EDI world, it is very, very important. Now, these two terms often do go hand in hand, and we are, of course, going to be defining, explaining, and providing example of each one, their influence in the workplace, and what you can do to stop being ableist or disableist. There are many isms within the diversity spectre, and we often use these to describe or explain some sort of injustices or difficulties that individuals or a group of people might face in their everyday lives. Now, to start off with an interesting fact, the reason why I'm using and throwing around this little word ism is because it's a suffix, something that is found at the end of a word. It is often used to discuss any social, cultural, political ideology. Organizations and companies have flagged improvements that needed to be made in workplaces. They have tackled some of these isms, as I like to call it. There has been some proactive progression with policies, gender parity, and just workplace morale and environment. Where some of the most proactive progressions have taken place is, in fact, when trying to tackle sexism and racism. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the work that is done is done and that is final. There are no more improvements that need to be made. That would just be naive. While progress has been made, the reason why it is called progress is because there's still so much left to do. We are not going to sit and anchor ourselves in the achievements that we have made because we are far from equality at the moment. But that is just an example of words that are discussed, disputed, and have revolved or caused some sort of policy change. However, this call will dive into discussing ableism and disableism, what each word means, a little history lesson between how the words came to be and how the behaviors came to be within the environments that we live in, a dissection of minor and major instances of ableism. We're also going to be talking about internalization and unconscious bias. We've got a little bit of psychology in there this week. And of course, I'm not just going to throw it out there without explaining what it means, but keep your eyes or ears peeled for that. And finally, as we always do, addressing ableism and disableism in the workplace, how to tackle it, and how to improve. There are many different definitions of ableism. Of course, they all have the same root meaning. There are additional explanations often added to the word, and that is because of educational or social circumstances. Ableism is the discrimination or social prejudice of individuals with disabilities. Now, I'm going to flag up something here just because this is something that I'm going to be talking about further along the podcast, let's just say. When a lot of organizations, and particularly the government, talk about individuals with disabilities, they say disabled people. Whereas throughout this podcast, I will be saying individuals with disabilities. That is because it humanizes them. It shows you that they are not just their disability, that their disability is not their identifier. That is going to be the first thing that you will notice that will be slightly different. I will not be using phrases such as the disabled or disabled people. Rather, individuals with disabilities. Ableism goes further than any generic form of discrimination. Ableism is rooted in the belief that individuals with disabilities require fixing or are lesser than able-bodied people. So it is rooted in the fact that many people or individuals who are ableist believe that being able-bodied, and I am going to touch upon why that term is so problematic later, are more superior than those who were born or develop a disability. Before I moved into some of the researched segment of this podcast, I do want to thank three organizations and credit them where I have really benefited from their reports and their articles in my research. And they are Scope, a British organisation dedicated to improving the lives of individuals with disabilities, accessliving.org, also an organisation within the United States that is dedicated to informing and helping people understand what it is like to live with a disability, and finally medium.com. And they are kind of like a current affairs magazine that touch upon a range of different ideas, and ableism was one of them. In a Scope report that I had encountered while I was reading, it has stated that ableism drives misconceptions, generalizations, and harmful stereotypes that can make them feel even worse. Often, ableism is demonstrated through a range of different ways, whether it's people's attitude, language, or actions. On a bigger level, it can be shown through policy implementation, architectural design, and just general disregard and ignorance for designated spaces or facilities for individuals with disabilities. And again, something I'm going to touch about later. There is a lot to be getting through, but a lot of it is going to be flagged up in the beginning. It is to be said that apparently a lot of individuals who use ableist sentiments, behaviours or language are not making a conscious effort to marginalise or be malicious towards individuals with disabilities. Ableist attitudes and behaviours have become so common that they are ingrained into the social fabric of our society. Whether an individual has a physical, neurological, psychological or social disability, they are not treated as equal. Many people do not consider the obstacles individuals with disabilities may encounter in their daily lives. And actually, many people with ableist attitudes are the ones to enforce some sort of obstacle on them, via it be through their attitude, the way they treat them, not providing them the proper means or facilities to get around, or taking up and using the facilities that are there for them in the first place. There is also another layer added to ableism and discrimination, and that is disableism. Disableism is the attitude of inconsideration and the direct discrimination of individuals with disabilities. While ableism focuses more on how able-bodied people are better, disableism focuses more on how individuals with disabilities are in somewhat limited or need to be fixed. Ableist attitudes are shown to be somewhat universal, and what I mean by that is that there is no type of disability that is immune, so to speak, from people who are ableist or disableist, particularly those who have invisible disabilities. And an invisible disability is defined as having an accessibility or ability need that is not visually or immediately apparent to others. Society places much more importance on the economic advancement of those who do not have ability or accessibility needs, whether it is hiring candidates, creating transport, or architecture and buildings. Individuals with a disability are often sidetracked and treated like second-class citizens, where their requirements to make their lives more easier or accessible are often disregarded and put to the side. Though governments, institutions, and organizations are making rallies and calls for changes to be made in this area, whether the improvement or the progression is actually proactive is something that we can actively question. I wanted to present some food for thought, which is why I'm going to dive into a little bit of history. And this is another part that I had encountered on my research journey, but developed it and took it a little bit further, just because I think it will help shape our understanding of why ableism and disableism is so common. It is something that we are going to have to deconstruct and unlearn and realize is wrong. Some history on disableism and ableism. While I was researching, putting this brief together for this podcast, I happened upon a piece that discussed the importance of understanding the history of these isms. It helps me realize that whether it is ableism, disableism, racism, sexism, and so on and so forth, a lot of these cultures at some point in society had become a universal culture. They had become learned and conditioned. They are behaviors or attitudes that we internalize, and we think it's perfectly normal to act or behave in a certain way, where there have been some changes with regards to possibly sexism, in some ways racism. Again, not completely, but there's been some progression. Ableism and disableism still seem to be quite universal. The following research has been drawn from the Harvard Business Review, Medium.com, and I have added in my own input, and I will cite the sources where I have found them. Let's go back to industrialization. Fun little history lesson. As society has become more industrialized, labor, profit, economy became standout pieces of culture that were integral to moving society forward. This industrialized era commodified the human body, and I don't think that I could have put it any better, and that was by Medium.com. If an individual could not work or contribute towards the economic system, they were considered a burden. Unfortunately, this ableist culture has only increased and become more common. There is a misconception that individuals with a disability are automatically unable to work, as opposed to assessing how an environment or a workplace can be made more inclusive, so individuals who have accessibility needs can actually have them fulfilled. Rather, what we are seeing happen is an exclusionary culture where companies are continuing to foster or place obstacles and barriers in front of these individuals with disabilities, whether it is visible or invisible. It has segregated individuals with visible or physical ability needs, institutionalized and unjustly at times treated and medicated those with psychological and neurological ability needs, dismissed those with social and educational ability needs. This is not exhaustive, and these treatments of individuals can be interchangeable, it can be joined, it can be removed. Every situation is different. But these are just some examples of the trauma these individuals have had to go through. Our communities have much work to do to make daily living, education, and employment a lot more accessible to those who need it. The discriminations that individuals with disabilities face is shown to be systematic, from not having access to inclusive education or educational aid, not having adequate or suitable modes or routes for public and private transport, for not having equal opportunity compared to their peers for employment and hiring. They face many, many difficulties. These are institutional exclusions that individuals face throughout their entire lives. However, there are, on an individual level, somewhat minor everyday instances, and I will talk about the use of the word minor in a moment, of ableist comments and behaviors that are just as harmful as these major institutionalized instances of ableism. Or let's discuss what I mean by minor or everyday ableism. The word minor has been discussed in the context of small, not in the sense that it's not a big deal, but it reflects a short or a small interaction, or on the scope of society, it's between two individuals. So again, on a smaller scale, it does not mean that it is not a big deal or a minor problem. Ableism has come to dominate over the lives of individuals who have disabilities, and ableist attitudes have become a massive norm. As I read out this list, what I want you to do is, whether it was a joke or a mocking, I want you to see if you actually used these phrases or not. That doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person or you're maliciously going out to attack an individual with a disability. It just shows that unconsciously you may have internalized ableist language and attitudes, or you may not realize that these phrases were actually hurtful in the first place. That's so lame. You are so retarded. That guy is nuts / mad / crazy. You're acting so bipolar today. Are you acting like that because you're off your meds? It's like the blind leading the blind. My ideas fell on deaf ears. You're such a psycho. I'm super OCD about how I clean my apartment. Can I pray for you? I don't even think of you as disabled. That was a list, and I would like to provide credit to accessliving.org for it, because their influence and their reports and articles were very integral to shaping that list, and that list is not my property and they own it. In many cases, these phrases are a mockery. They belittle and often seem like a joke, but in reality, they are harmful and present disability as something that is a scapegoat or something that needs to be fixed. These are often use in passing, and people use them to insult friends, families, and sometimes directly individuals with disabilities. And whilst many people say that they don't intentionally go out of their way to harm others with their words, that is exactly what it is doing. You have no idea how your words or these words can implicitly or explicitly harm an individual's self-esteem. As a society, we have been conditioned to think that using these phrases are socially acceptable. We don't realize that they can have a harmful tone to the individual who receives them. And even if they are not the one receiving them, even if they are in the vicinity of hearing it, you have no idea how it can actually affect an individual's mental health. And we have to remember that many people have individual disabilities. In the UK, it is cited that 1 in 4 people are actually reported to have a disability. That number is incredibly high. And whilst a lot of people do not have a visible one, and even if they do, invisible disability, minor and everyday ableism can also include attitudes, actions, and behaviours. It comes under minor because many people believe that these actions are not necessarily a big deal and they happen in passing every day, whereas a lot more attention needs to be brought to the fact that these actions are often quite ignorant. Choosing an inaccessible venue for a meeting or an event. So this means not having ramps or lifts available where they are needed. It can also mean not having desks or tables that are adjusted for individuals who are wheelchair users or cane users. Using somebody's mobility device as a hand or foot rest. I think that is just straight up ignorant and insult. I will be talking about this one in a lot more detail, but framing disability as a tragedy or as an exceptional inspiration. Exceptional being a key word here. And this is often found in news stories, movies, TV shows, and other forms of media. Casting a non-disabled actor to play a disabled character in a film, movie, or TV show. Making a social media video or movie or TV show that does not have audio description or captioning. Using an accessible bathroom stall when you can use a non-accessible stall without any risk of injury or pain. Wearing scented products in a scent-free environment because certain individuals with neurological conditions or sensory conditions can actually find this extremely problematic. Talking to a person with a disability as if they are a child. Talking about them or through them rather than directly to them. Or even speaking for them is a problem. Asking invasive and personal questions about medical history and personal life. And this is particularly, I have noticed, directed at strangers. Assuming people must have to be showing a visible disability to be disabled. Questioning if somebody is actually disabled and whether they were disabled by birth and how they came to be disabled. Again, I would like to credit accessliving.org for this list. I have developed and added and redacted some of the ideas just because I felt like they weren't relevant, but the research and the article from that organization was integral to using that bulleted list. Let's talk about major ableism. Major ableism is split into many categories. It can constitute legislation, policy, institutional practices that can mitigate the involvement of individuals with disabilities in their environments. There are many different examples of major ableism, and some will be listed below. So, employers, employees, and the public not complying with disability laws under the Equality Act of 2010 within the United Kingdom. Segregating students with disabilities into different classes or alternatively providing no aid or accessibility support where required in public or private education. Disability access areas are not incorporated into building and transportation designs, developing and creating inaccessible social media posts and websites, mocking or using disability as a punchline in jokes, insults or conversation. This list was developed with aid from accessliving.org, and I would like to credit them for their contribution in my using it. The impact of these actions and behaviors can last from birth till death and can create numerous obstacles for individuals with disability. The issue here is this creates a vicious circle where ableist attitudes and mannerisms are the cause for individuals with disabilities facing many types of different shortcomings. However, the same individuals who publicize and regularly use ableist sentiments tend to be the same individuals who flout the rules in place to make environments more accessible in the first place. Whilst there are some clear institutional shortcomings in architectural design and transport accessibility, ableism has shown to be more common at an individual level. A way to change the conversation and narrative is to not reduce an individual down to their disability and be available for support where they need it. Many individuals are not able to see or speak past an individual's impairment. The call for humanization needs to be a reminder that above all else, no matter what circumstance, a person's ability or accessibility needs is not their defining factor, and we need to interact with everyone as if they are human beings and they deserve to be treated with respect. The commonality of ableism helps us realize a few things. Whether we can admit it or not, due to the commonality and unconscious use of ableist phrases and behaviors, some individuals may have unconscious bias towards individuals with disabilities. Many individuals have to go through a period of unlearning and relearn how to openly converse but be respectful with them. When you are unsure of how to further communicate with an individual who has a disability, asking a non-intrusive question is always an option. Many people actually find it quite respectful. Another part of unlearning is realizing that any harmful biases you have internalized are just that. Individuals with disabilities are marginalized and othered by many from birth, whether it be conscious or unconscious. It is a matter of realizing that any biases that we have to unlearn will only be beneficial, not just for those who it targets, but for us. We become advocates and teachers for those who need to be informed and advised on this matter. Misguided connections. One thing that many people do not understand is that attempting to talk to someone about their disability may not have the response that you initially desire. If you choose to initiate a conversation with somebody who has a disability, be mindful, as you do not know whether this conversation may be uncomfortable and unnecessary and actually intrusive. What many more individuals need to consider is whether the conversation is actually invasive. Do you have a right to ask somebody about their impairment? Do you have a right to ask about their personal life? Especially if they are a stranger. Many people assume that they have the right to ask and reduce an individual down to their disability. These types of conversations have been found very common amongst people in public transport, which I find quite interesting. No individual has a right to own, debate, and probe another about their disability or impairment. Secondly, be mindful of how you talk about disability and stories of disability in the first place. There is a spectrum, I have noticed. The extreme right and the extreme left. On the extreme right, you have individuals who cannot see past the fact that individual disabilities are a limitation, a tragedy, an obstacle. And that is the only manner in which they can see it, hear about it, and speak of it. They cannot help but pity others or those who have a disability. On the extreme left, you have those who fetishize and sensationalize individuals who do well despite having a disability. And I wanted to use that particular phrase, despite, because it completely showcases what the problem is. People are saying that, oh, yeah, they've done well. They've done really well for themselves despite having a disability. But why does that word despite have to be used? They're doing well. Full stop. You're readily assuming that this person who has done well for themselves is an exceptional circumstance, that this is not a common occurrence for an individual who has a disability. But who are you or we to determine that? When we are the ones who are placing these barriers on these individuals in the first place, why are we further saying that they are an exception to the so-called disability social rule? We need to find a middle ground where we humanize. We be respectful, but we also provide support and aid for those individuals who really need it. So here are some tips on consciously adverting or averting ableist attitudes, whether it be in the workplace, on public transport, or in the general public. I think these tips are going to be useful on both an institutional level and an individual level. Do not make a habit of joking or mocking. If you catch yourself or somebody else making ableist comments, either politely correct yourself or stop and explain politely to the other why it is a problem. Make sure you are not using facilities that are designated for individuals with disabilities. This is particularly important for disabled loos and parking. Be mindful to leave a gap to ensure a wheelchair user's ramp can be opened and they have access to their vehicle. This is a common problem that I have seen in so many different areas where drivers are so inconsiderate, though there is complete signage and labelling that this is a vehicle that has a wheelchair ramp. Be wary, be mindful. If you can't park your space there because the ramp will need to be open, go and find another space. If you are a company manager, HR executive, or C-suite level executive, have you checked to see whether your company or organisation is a disability confidant? If not, what can you do to achieve this? Is your organisation adhering to the Equality Act of 2010? Are you ensuring that all the candidates that you are considering in the hiring processes have been chosen indiscriminately? And are you providing those who have ability and accessibility needs with that access to get any interviews or assessments done with you? And are you providing any coaching or any training for current employees so they are aware of what ableism and disabilism are? Think about these things because they might actually make a difference to how your teams function. And this has been another episode of DJM's Diversity Pod. It was a little bit of a long one, but I thought it's probably better to get it out there. If you have any questions for me, hit the DMs on LinkedIn or Instagram, or you can just drop a comment on www.diversejobsmatter.co.uk. Thanks for listening to me, and I am going to hear you out. Goodbye.